We delve once again into the world of words with the first in the new series of Poet's Tree.
Hi, and welcome to Poet's Tree. My name is Paul Hamilton, and I am a poet. And this first poem is called Acceptance. Hirsute lesbian, I love you. Freedom's guerrilla, I salute you. Bipolar Inuit, I embrace you. Come you all to my home, I have muffins. A poem there from my soon-to-be-published anthology of poetry entitled Shadows of Reflections. As you know, this program, Poet's Tree, is all about poetry. But I have a question for you. What is poetry? The cynic in the age of broadband internet communication pronounces poetry dead. Well, I'm not dead. Not yet, anyway. And I am poetry. An extravagant claim? Well, I am poetry in that I, Paul Hamilton, a poet, create poetry. From my brain, from my heart, and, if you'll excuse me, from my balls. It is my hope that this program will rouse you to join me in undertaking the mission to create poetry, because poetry is to a lesser or greater degree within us all, and God knows the world needs poetry now more than ever.
Poet's Tree.
I'm asking people about poetry.
I wandered lonely as a cloud. That's all I can remember, really. It was perfectly nice.
Here I sit, broken-hearted, paid a penny, only farted.
we used to do it at school. I never paid any attention. I was always just mugging about.
Poetry is, I think he's, you know, it's good for a man to the word.
The people of Fareham there, one of the many reasons why I feel Poet's Tree is so important. Now, Elspeth Colding of Wells has written in to say how much she enjoys Poet's Tree, and my poems in particular. Oh, that's very kind. Elspeth, who has sent in an excellent photograph of herself in the garden, says that after her divorce last year, she's steeled herself on several occasions to go out on dates. She writes, "Not all of them have been complete successes, and I wonder, Paul, if you've ever written a poem about a date that went wrong." Well, funny you should say that, Elspeth, because here's a poem I wrote which chronicles a romantic dinner which didn't go quite as planned. You didn't like my gooseberry wine. You said you'd rather lager. You said what's wrong with microwaves, and sneered at my old aga. You would not watch Wings of Desire, the movie by Wim Wenders. Instead, the shrieking Cockney angst, the foulness of EastEnders. My shirt, my hair, my Rothko prints, all claimed your disapproval. And even my best underpants after trouser removal. It surely was not love we made, and not from heaven sent. You woke my neighbours, squashed my cat. You came, and then you went. Sometimes it can be very easy to be brought down by the little things in life. Snails in the garden, a mild NSU, and many of us find relief from our worries in the arms of Morpheus, by sleeping. In this week's Words from the World item, the Jamaican poet Derek Harricott does just that in his famous poem, Me Can't Believe It. The reader is Roger Griffin of the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Soon come, him say, money soon come. But money never come. Me can't believe it. Me can't believe it at all, at all. Me can't believe it at all. Soon come, him say. Woman soon come. But woman never come. Me can't believe it. Me can believe it at all, at all. Me can believe it at all. Soon come, him say. Collie soon come. But me collie never come. Me can believe it. Me can believe it at all, at all. Me can believe it at all. Soon come, him say. Sleep soon come. And sleep come. And in sleep, me collie, me money, me woman, all come. And me believe it. Me believe it all. Me believe it all, it all. Me believe it all. Till morning.
Me Can't Believe It by Derek Harricott. And reader Roger Griffin is appearing as Maltrinchio in The Cuckolds of Padua at the Sheffield Lyric. Roxanne, you don't have
to put on the red light. I was recently leading a poetry workshop at a special needs school, and a very brave young lady asked me, Paul, what is the point of poetry? Well, it's a very good question. And so I explained to her that poetry's ultimate aim is to enrich and deepen communication by breaking out of the straitjacket of conventional modes of self-expression and taking flight in the wide expanses of a higher level of linguistic, emotional, and even logical articulation of so-called reality. I'm sitting in a pub in Cardiff with a prostitute. Her name is Anne. Hi, Anne.
Hey.
Anne, how long have you been working as a prostitute?
About 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend at school who went on the game and she started making a fortune. And I was like dead skint, loads of credit card debts. And she said to me, like, why don't you give it a go? So I did.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you must hate it.
No, gets a bit mental sometimes. I mean, I've been beaten up twice.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I was in hospital second time with a broken jaw.
Do you know, I feel very jealous of you.
Do you?
No, I do, because, I mean, on the surface of it, yes, you risk injury, disease, and even death every day, every hour, every second. You work in freezing weather, wearing very little. It's a physically and mentally corrosive job, but on the positive side, what you do have is access to a rawness of experience and depth of suffering that, quite frankly, most poets would kill for.
Oh.
Now let me explain more slowly.
Mm.
I'm asking you, Anne, to write a poem about your life.
Yeah.
Now, when you write it, maybe as well as the degradation and brutality of your life, right?
Yeah.
You could also very profitably concentrate on the beauty of a life which is in fact incredibly rich in immediacy and starkness and realness.
Right.
Okay. Now, Anne, you've got your pen and paper in front of you. I'll leave you to it. Good luck. Well, as I wait outside the pub in the car for Anne to write her poem, I do rather wonder if I'm the first man to ever pay a prostitute to write a piece of poetry. Anne asked for and has received £50 for an hour's worth of writing, and I'm chuckling to myself at what the Middle England portion of Radio 4's listenership are going to make of a slice of their licence money being spent on, well, a whore. But anyway, I have to say that for all her bluffness and seemingly numbed sensitivity, Anne, due to her profession, has a wealth of insight and perception far beyond most common experience. And as far as I'm concerned, that usually makes for pretty damn good poetry. Well, there's nothing to do now but wait. So, Anne, you've had an hour. How have you got on?
I don't know. It's not very good.
Well, I'm sure it is. Okay, I see it's there before you. Would you like to read it out?
No, I'm too shy.
Oh, come on. You're shy?
Yeah.
Really? Please? For me?
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
Okay. Sometimes my job feels really, really silly, because a man comes to me with his big, hard willy. Then he puts it in my fanny for a minute or so. Then he gives me £50, and it's time for him to go. Yes, rubbish, isn't it?
No. Do you know what it is, Anne? It's real. And in a world of lies and illusion, that is a very valuable thing.
Oh.
Very valuable. Do you think it was worth it?
Worth it? Well, yeah, it was definitely worth it.
It's fantastic. Anne, thank you very much.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers to you. Anne's poem is a perfect illustration that blunt simplicity can sometimes be highly effective. Behind the functional, mechanical, seemingly blasé character of the language, we can almost feel the rubbered invader thrusting at our vitals. And we can take comfort, and hopefully Anne can too, in the fact that in her tragic, anonymous life, she will leave behind at least one thing of value. Because a poem can't be strangled. A poem can't die of AIDS. A poem is, in its own way, immortal. Anne in Cardiff there. Time now for our weekly favourite word spot. And this week I travelled 1,200 miles to the far-flung Faroe Islands to ask the fair denizens of that place of beautiful desolation what their favourite words are. And here is a taste of what they told me.
And what's your favourite word?
Cliff!
Hermaphrodite!
Nest!
Chest!
Holy.
Gristle.
Wine. Tepid.
The good burgers of the Faroe Islands. And I have to say, it was absolutely freezing up there.
Poet's Tree.
Now, listener Harry Denming of Solihull has written in to comment on the amount of, and I quote, foreign accents and dialects featured on Poet's Tree. Writes Harry, while I appreciate the need to reflect modern, multicultural Britain, of which I'm all in favour, it would be nice just once in a while to hear some classic English poetry, Shakespeare, Donne, Marvel and the like, spoken as was originally intended. Keep up the good work. Yours, Harry Denming. Well, Harry, are you implying something, I wonder? Or am I inferring something? All I can say is, my final poem today seems somehow apposite. It's one of mine, and it's called Prejudice. My friend Alistair McCardie has ginger hair. He eats porridge for breakfast and drinks whiskey. He is, to be truthful, cautious with his money. He enjoys football and the skirl of the pipes. My friend Alistair McCardie is Welsh. Good night.
Poet's Tree was written by Kevin Eldon and Stuart Lee and produced by Ed Morrish.